I can just sit, I can just sit and wait for all your goodness, hope to feel your presence. And I can just stay, I could just stay right where I am and hope to feel you, hope to feel something again. Change me from the inside, and I could be safe. I could be safe here in your arms and never leave home, never let these walls down. But you have called me higher, you have called me deeper, and I'll go where you will lead me, Lord. You have called me higher, you have called me deeper.
Thank you, Melinda. It is always a good day when you can begin hearing Melinda sing. And it is a good Sunday when I can look at the screen and see all of you, because I know that so many of you are in different parts of the country. You're also scattered out around the greater Los Angeles area. And I long for that day when we can all walk through the door at Harmony and embrace one another. And I'm pretty sure that on that day, a few tears will fall. Something to look forward to. When I lived in New York, I loved to walk over to Rockefeller Center and see the ice skaters and the Christmas tree and to attend the Radio City Music Hall Christmas show. Now, that show had a very typical telling of the Christmas story in pageants, minus, of course, Santa Claus and some high-kicking rockettes. And as the way this typical story is most often told, the events of that ancient day are rather, well, lumped together into one giant event. And so one has to wonder in seeing this story that it must have been rather crowded and loud around that small stable. By the time the shepherds and the sheep and the kings and the camels all arrived, to say nothing of the perpetual onlookers. And I'm pretty sure there were those present in the first century as well. And I must admit, it's not a very peaceful setting for a little baby that was just born. The way the birth of Jesus is portrayed in most productions, that can actually sound to me to be kind of chaotic. And I think it is very important for us to parse the pageant version of the Christmas story and look at how more specifically Matthew alone tells us this story. A baby is born, the Messiah, the promised deliverer of truth and unconditional love, joy, peace, and hope. And this birth is set against the era of King Herod the Great, a man who represents greed and insecurity, ego, self-serving hypocrisy, lies, even death to get his way. Herod was a man who would do anything he could to stay in power. He was a man so feared that the Jerusalem establishment quaked at his presence and bowed to his every command. As I thought of that, it occurred to me, this is very masterpiece theater, but light years before the PBS series ever came along. And I love how Matthew paints for us a vivid story in amazing images. A star gleaming in the sky, beating with the pulse of a brighter future. Wise men, scientists, traveling on camelback through the dark night, silent and perhaps even contemplatively. A house, not a stable, as in Luke, where Mary, Joseph, and the baby are present. And then Matthew does something that I find profound and also beautiful. He tells us that these wise men from the East are so in tune with the presence and spirit that surrounded them that they hear and understand this still small voice as it speaks to them. They hear the voice of God, the God of the Hebrews, a God figure very likely unknown to them previously. And yet, they hear and they respond. They search out the place where the Christ child lay and they present gifts to show their reverence and to show their respect. They have seen and they have followed a star that was apparently unbeknownst to the greater population. But it spoke to them and they listened. They heard. And most importantly, they understood its message. That still small voice that told them to follow that star later told them to disobey Herod's command to return to him with news of the baby. And it assured them that Herod was lying when he said he too wished to pay homage. And perhaps one of the most significant images we are given is that in that dream, this voice spoke to these wise men, warned them, and they departed in another direction. I find this very significant, that this still small voice speaking to those men who were not from the Hebrew population did so with clarity of purpose and truth in a language these men could understand. And I believe Matthew makes this an important point for us, because it reveals to us today how this voice is available to any and all who will listen and who will respond. That voice that called out to itinerant men on camelback is calling out to each and every one of us. And it is calling out to us with unconditional love and peace, that what the Christ presence represents. And like those wise men, we can choose to listen or not. This is the profound promise of this story for me, that in the midst of whatever is going on in and around us, do we not also need to stop and to listen and to ponder? Mary heard that voice from the angel announcing she was going to carry a child. Wise men heard it in the dark of night, surrounded by all that was darkness, sorrow, religious, economic, social, and political repression. They heard a voice calling out to them. And they are not the exception, for it speaks to every one of us. That still small voice doesn't speak to us with dogma or any kind of agenda, but it does speak to us with truth. To the Magi, it told them, something greater than mere mortals could understand was happening before their eyes. I love how Isaiah quotes the voice of God. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? The still small voice invites us, beckons for us to understand it with all of our senses, to expand the lens through which we view the spiritual presence and understand its power, its love, its guidance, its strength, and certainly its radical grace. It led a group of magi from a world of what was to a world of what can be. That voice, very small and very still. And yet, if we are open to receiving it, that voice gets louder, and that voice gets larger, and that voice gets more vivid, and it speaks to us in language individualized for each and every one of us. This still small voice speaks not of things that will be, but of things that are. Magi brought material gifts to show their love. And God's gift to humanity was so great that most people have missed it. For it didn't come in fancy wrapping with a designer label, but it came wrapped in unconditional love. It came inviting us to participate with God in living out the message of that gift, in service, in justice, in believing that all are created in the image and in the likeness, that all are children of God, that everyone, regardless of their human form, in size, color, gender, sexual preference, is worthy of its blessing. And the gift we are to accept is that we recognize that the message of the Christ is to be our message as well. Read on in Matthew's text and in the other Gospels as well. Jesus actually lived a life that spelled out very clearly and specifically for us what that message is and how it is that we are to do likewise. And yet, even when the voice was not that small or not that still, we have often failed to follow it. Look at what Jesus did in a very short time. He healed and ministered to the sick and needy, offered an invitation to join his followers, no matter what their current station in life happened to be. And most importantly, he spoke truth to power. The Christmas story, like the message that we receive from God, is both beautiful and yet it is very simple. I love how my friend, Reverend Ginger Gaines Sorelli at Foundry Methodist Church, put it in a recent sermon. For she said this: God has given us everything, promised everything, hung in there with us when we turn up our noses, when we receive a divine message and respond with some version of, "That's asking too much. That's too expensive. Well, I don't have time. Someone else can take care of it. I'm not equipped. Thanks anyway." Reverend Ginger is absolutely right. Even if we hear the message, we must respond with action. And the Christmas season should be our wake-up call to stop being asleep and to listen to that still small voice within each of us. Every year we read the story. Every year the words of Scripture are the same. We read Matthew and Luke and we hear the coming of the Lord. And as we read it, the story can somehow for us very often just seem complete. But the story is not over. It will never be over. For into the story is you and into the story is me. We are all meant to be characters, to be participants in this story, for the story continues with us. I actually like to think that this light that guided wise men and shined upon them was forever present within them as they went about the rest of their lives. They could choose to recognize it and live into that light as their constant guide of strength, love, and service, or they could ignore it. And the light of that star continues to shine within each of us. Choose it, don't choose it, that's up to you. But choosing it can change everything for you. If you like walking in darkness, well, okay. But if you want to walk in the light of the Christ presence, allow that light to shine in and through you and let it shine out to everyone else around you. That still small voice will remind you of this light. And that same still small voice that grows within you with each step forward that you take. You know, I kind of like to think of it this way. When you fully connect with the voice of God within you, you then download into your consciousness the very presence and the consciousness of God. If the ministry of Jesus taught me anything, it taught me that we are always becoming. So, know with me always that God, through this still small voice, has an answer. God has an answer for you the minute any problem in your life occurs. Listen, for God is bigger than any idea of God we can ever have. in the Jewish writings of the Talmud, there is a saying, and I love this. There is an angel bending over every blade of grass saying, grow. And I believe there is an angel bending over each one of us saying, listen. Happy New Year. God bless you. And amen.
Amen. Fantastic message, Rev Jefferson. Let's give up some joy. Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much, Rev Jefferson, for this gift of inspiration and such care to start off our new year. So, friends, thank you for worshiping online with us today. We're going to now shift to our question of the day. And for those on Zoom who would like to participate, please stay online. And with that, we'll conclude this morning's recorded worship service, and we look forward to seeing you next Sunday at 10:30 a.m. Blessings to you and yours. Peace.